though there are reasonable concerns from members of both communities, that's a community that I belong to as well. And that's why I had to inform myself and look at the data myself. The data was very reassuring. And one thing for me as a Black American was seeing how diverse the patient population was in each trial and feeling comfortable with that as well. There is lots of misinformation in the media, and it's hard to combat that. And so I would go with trusted sources, medical professionals, people in your community, people in your family, ask about their experiences and get familiar.
And listen to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Time for Off the Wall. The program is Off the Wall. I'm sorry about the live mic before. It's a hot microphone. I coughed on the air. I regret it. Let's move past it. It's Emmanuel and Kyle.
Over here.
Right here.
What are you doing? Talking through a paper cup?
Megaphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
just want to make sure I'm heard.
You're heard. I'm not sure if you're interpreted the way you want to be interpreted, but yeah,
no.
you're on. All right. You're on.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear they caught the bull out east?
No way.
No, I'm asking, did you hear if they caught the bull out east?
Oh, no, I don't think
they
did.
I didn't hear it either. No, he's still out there. He's still out there.
All right.
Maybe I said that wrong. I was asking if anyone heard anything recently. That bull, that is one hidden bull. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of puns I could make, but the fact of the matter is there's a big bull loose out east. And, well, he doesn't want to be found, so I guess we're all cool because we don't want to have a bull chasing us. And if he doesn't want to be seen, then okay, I guess we can just sort of... There could be a bull, you know, a mile away from here.
I think the bull is waiting for the right screenplay.
Uh-huh.
And if it's adapted with, you know, a good ensemble and the right director, he'll, you know, maybe make a move, you know.
Who do you think will be in the film?
Greenlight the project, but until then, he's holding out. Who? Like, will be in it?
Yeah.
Like, starring?
Who's going to star in it? You think De Niro's too old? What?
How could you say that?
No, I'm
That's
sorry.
Unfair.
Of course he's not too old.
That's
well,
unfair.
I mean, you know, there is some running involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, cursing, he could definitely do that. No, De Niro would work. I could see De Niro working perfectly well. But I was also thinking Ed Norton would be good for... Well, you should probably be having this conversation off air, but... Yeah, it's there are a number of studios that have expressed interest, but of course the story has to play out. Unless we're talking a Netflix series, in which case the bull could remain hidden from season to season.
I mean, season one is just everything that leads up to the escape.
Then so
you end that season with the escape.
Pre-escape then.
Season one.
Okay.
Ends with the escape, right? Then you get season two. Automatically, you have what you got. You got little sequences with the live news shots. You have a whole bunch of that's at least three episodes meeting all the people that are going to find.
Hang on. How about this? An episode that goes into the background of the cow that they release. You just basically you're watching the series and like, where's the bull? We're not talking about the bull. Why are we talking about this cow? You're seeing the cow growing up from a little calf, you know, to a regular cow.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's the cow that got released and was trying to lure him back and completely failed. They probably slaughtered her by now. She failed in her mission.
I don't think that's the concept. That's pretty heavy.
It's, believe me, in the bovine industry, there's little room for forgiveness. That's one thing I've learned.
Well, we'll, I guess, keep watching for updates on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, we'll either have this project released or the bull will
emerge. Oh, it'll be released. It's a question. Is it Netflix? Is it Amazon Prime? Is it FedEx? I can't believe FedEx has a video network like that. They got some pretty good series on there.
Wow.
Yeah. But you have to be a FedEx Super Prime member to get it.
FedEx streaming app. Yeah.
Then you can pay $79.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
No prices on the air. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you shouldn't be talking about that.
So, there are people out there right now who could probably be listening to us who are sitting in their car waiting. I guess because they expect the bull to walk by their car, or they might be out there with bull candy or whatever it is they use to lure bulls. But yeah, patience and.
Are there any predators to bulls, like non-human predators that...
Yeah, slaughterhouse, that's a predator.
Well,
but
of
it's
course.
Not, it's not an animal.
That's the premise at
yeah.
the beginning of the thing. But I'm just saying, could this bull be, like, fighting it, off various,
I
you
don't
know,
think so, other than
packs
mosquitoes,
of, packs
you know.
Of wolves, I don't know.
A mosquito that will annoy the hell out of any animal, but I don't think you could rightfully call them a predator. I don't think you could rightfully call us a predator, because for us to be a predator... You know, we have to be out there ourselves and be able to take down a bull with our bare hands. And no, that, you know, we're just industrial predators, I suppose, because we need all these tools and machinery and advantages. I don't think a bull really... well, actually, no, that's not entirely true. An elephant could take down a bull. A rhino and a hippo, they could take down bulls.
I think enough coyotes to...
But you'd have to really annoy them to get them to do that.
True.
And from what I've heard about this bull, he's mellow. He's not a jerk.
Just wants to live out his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here in Suffolk County, we're going to see if that happens because, yeah.
We're not, be on the alert. Yeah.
We're not, by the way, we're not dancing around the story, the big story today about Cuomo. We're going to get to that. we're looking forward to it, in fact.
It's not the only bull.
But I wanted to read you something, Kyle. I wanted to read you a tweet, and I'd like you to identify the source of the tweet. Okay? Can you up for this?
I'll try.
It's not hard.
No guarantees.
It's not entirely hard, but I just want you...
I think I have a short list.
Don't think about the how. Just think about the who. Can you do that?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. It's about Kamala Harris. All right? Here we go. Kamala Harris is doing a real bang-up job securing the border. She couldn't possibly be handling this any more incompetently. Harris needs to be replaced, all caps, immediately! Exclamation point. Who is that?
Is this our congressional representative?
You know, Kyle, you're too smart.
I'm just...
Everybody else I asked said, oh my God, how did Trump get back on Twitter? But you, right away, you know who it is.
Well,
you've basically given him a shield just now. Because if you had said, that's Trump, oh my God, how is Trump back tweeting? Then I'd say, no, Kyle, that was Lee Zeldin. And you'd say, well, then Trump must be controlling him somehow. And then I'd say, yes, exactly. But you didn't play along by the script. And that proves that we don't have a script. That proves that we never know what's going to happen next. Oops, sorry.
It's that wannabe behavior. Yeah, of course you could say, oh, that's the T word, right? That guy. But the giveaway is he's not on the platform you were asking me about. So
that's why I said don't worry about the how.
Oh, okay. But you insinuated that it was a certain form of writing. You didn't say like, oh, this excerpt
I really do think he's either taking on all of his tendencies now, or he's getting some help. Here.
The all caps affectation.
This was only a few hours ago, and we're going to lead into the Trump story, not the Cuomo story. Boy, that was a slip of the tongue. Brutal AG report against Cuomo, but he's still refusing to resign and still attacking his accusers and investigators. Between his deadly nursing home order and cover-up, his 5.1 mem book deal, and his sexual harassment, abuse, and intimidation, the state legislature, all caps, must impeach, all caps, immediately, exclamation point, again. I don't know. I'm seeing a very distinct similarity here. I've always have seen a similarity, but now it doesn't seem to be in any way hidden. There's no unique writing style anymore. That is the way Trump talks.
So it's like he is speaking as a proxy for him.
He always has been, but just not so overtly.
No, like verbatim. Like he's talking to him personally and basically transcribing various opinions.
I don't know if he's even talking to him. He might just be getting text messages saying, here, do this now.
And
he'd do it.
Hasting it.
He would do it. He would do whatever he was told. That is our congressman. We'll do whatever Trump tells him.
Well, because he's dim enough he can't think of it himself.
He's dim enough to think about some things. You know, this guy, I don't want to spend the whole day talking about Zeldin, even though we really do need to deal with him. He is a danger to us. He wants more guns on the streets.
Yeah,
he has said that.
His latest thing.
Because the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case, and this really scares me. They're hearing a case about whether it's constitutional for states to basically ban concealed carry, like New York does, or to regulate it very strongly. Now, can you imagine if New York suddenly had the same laws as Texas or Arizona, where basically anybody can carry a gun, conceal it, not even have a license in many cases? That's the world Lee Zeldin wants here in New York. And, you know, he has the audacity to point to stories about gun violence, like in New York City. Well, he points to New York City because that's not here. That's those people over in the city, and they're all savages, and you know how it is. And looking at that and saying, yeah, the way to fix this, people shooting each other, is to have more people with more guns. Okay, you know, basically that is how our country has been living over the past 40 years or so since Reagan. Okay, hasn't really worked out that well, has it? We have more mass shootings than ever, more gun violence than ever. So more guns doesn't equal anything except more violence, more gun violence. It's, you know, it's pretty much proven. And those people who keep going back to the Second Amendment and distorting that to make it seem like the Founding Fathers wanted anything like this, No, no, it's not true. And, you know, the Founding Fathers really, they aren't exactly the barometer of everything that's fair. For instance, you know, if you go by what the Founding Fathers wanted, they sure as hell didn't want women to vote. Didn't want that. Didn't want black people to vote.
To own land.
Didn't want a whole lot of things that we want now. So the Founding Fathers, yeah, you know, they got a couple of things right, but they would have gotten a whole lot more wrong. As would anybody in the 1700s, you know, it's a different world. That's what we can't seem to get. Worlds change. You know, time changes values and ways of doing things.
Yeah, personal hygiene was probably different back then.
Oh, my God, don't even get me started on that. Yeah.
You know, dental care, you know, oral hygiene, you know.
Do you know the first shower was not even recorded until 1822?
Water quality.
And
how
that
about
was,
that?
That was in somewhere in Virginia. I don't have the exact location.
That's believable.
Location.
I believe that.
Before that, it was just, you know, they would take these baths, and they were kind of disgusting, actually, because they didn't change the water very often. But
it was
yeah,
the
not,
same
1822
trough.
Was the first, and it wasn't even, you know, a high-pressure type of a thing, and the hot water was very spicy.
No, when the horses were done drinking out of it, they would just basically jump in. And
you know, it's dinner time for a lot of people. I don't want to get
sorry.
Into that,
and
I'm sorry for those of you just sitting down now. Okay, so speaking of disgusting, Cuomo. Okay, yeah, so what happened today, Kyle?
Because I just want to say the gun thing.
Yes.
I don't think they want it as badly as they think they do. Which tells me it's more of a political thing.
Who doesn't want it as badly as you think?
Zeldin. Oh. He may say he wants it, but you know what? In practice, as you're saying, and with the majority of people, that is not exactly the direction of society really want overall.
And I can prove they're hypocrites. Try going into Lee Zeldin's office with a concealed gun.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah. Try going into the Supreme Court with a concealed gun. Try going into the Capitol building. Because common sense dictates that you don't do those things. But they're okay with giving away common sense when it comes to the general public and allowing us to live in danger because they want to distort the Constitution in a particular way. No. Let's stop buying into this. Let's make some progress in other ways. And I wish we didn't have to talk about this. Okay, Cuomo. So you heard what was happening today. I slept late, so I missed most of it. And I'm not sorry. But it wasn't a good day for him, right?
Yeah. It was indeed a earth-shattering press conference by the AG.
Letitia James.
Yes. She spoke, and other representatives from various law firms were there speaking about the interviews and about the case in general and basically concluding their findings. They spent quite a bit of time interviewing, I think, over 140 or 160, I can't remember the exact number, but a lot of different people to corroborate and verify 11 accusations against the governor. And they went into great length talking about some of the instances, some of which weren't really out there that much before. One case specifically, I think, that was sort of a new revelation involved a state trooper that was on his personal security detail.
That's what, he groped a state trooper?
That, a female officer.
That takes, I want to say chutzpah, but that's too cute a word.
She's, you know, a younger officer, around, I think, 29 years old, had been having conversations with her about romantic interests, very, very much like sort of prying type of stuff. And it doesn't look good for him at all. Essentially, you know, these aren't former relationships. These aren't love interests or some love triangle or something in his personal life that went wrong and so forth. These are interactions he'd been having in his professional life,
mm-hmm.
And on the job, and that in and of itself creates this power dynamic, and it really ruined a lot of career, like staffers, people that were in Albany in his office, in the executive office, and it really shed this sort of allows the public to experience and actually bear witness to some of the gross stuff that was going on instead of these young people who were really tasked with protecting him in some instances and also working under him, working close with him. Instead of them having to bear it alone, the public now has this window into what his office is like.
Well, the official word is that Letitia James, saying today her investigation found that Cuomo engaged in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and made comments of a suggestive sexual nature, created a hostile work environment for women, and was not limited to members of his own staff, but extended to other state employees, as you mentioned, a state trooper on his protective detail, as well as members of the public. That's according to the Attorney General's report. And I believe he was the one who started this investigation. The Attorney General is part of his administration, so she was given the authority to look into this, and this is what she found. We talked about this months ago. I believe we said that this is the kind of thing you don't come back from. You know, certain things like the bogus nursing home scandal, I put that in quotes, those are attempts by Republicans to tear him down. If you compare statistics, look at Florida. You have the same number of people in nursing homes proportionally who died. You have a much more irresponsible policy, and it's whenever you hear somebody trying to cling to this that somehow Cuomo plotted to have senior citizens die or something, it's absurd, it's ridiculous. It's not this. This is something serious. This is something that, again, you can't walk away from. Now, the investigation has taken place, fine. Bought a few more months, but here it is. It's come back. And there's really no walking away from this. And I think people get that. I think Democrats, Republicans get that. But one thing I think we should be very cautious of, let us not let the Republicans dictate the dialogue here. Because keep in mind, Lee Zeldin is the Republican candidate for governor. I'm sorry, I have to laugh every time I say that. Lee Zeldin is the Republican candidate for governor. He's campaigning like Election Day is next week. It's a year from next November. And he's not doing his job as congressman while he's doing that. So he thinks that this is great for him. Let me tell you something, Lee. If Andrew Cuomo ran today as a sexual predator, he would still beat you. That is how bad you are viewed in New York State. Yeah. Think about that. Now, that said, we can't have Andrew Cuomo being the candidate for the Democratic Party. That's just wrong, and I think Democrats get that. Last I heard, they are working on impeachment. The Democrats working on impeachment. Can you imagine if Republicans treated Trump the way Democrats are treating Cuomo? Can you imagine the different country we'd be in right now? Wow, this is what it's about. When your guy does something reprehensible, when it's pretty much proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, which I think the Attorney General's report does, you have to do something about it. You can't ignore it. You don't see Democrats going and blocking investigations, refusing to call witnesses, pretending things didn't happen, rewriting history. No, you don't see that.
Discrediting people.
They're grown-ups, and they have to deal with it. Now, how do we deal with it? We being everyone. Well, obviously, this cannot be swept under the rug. I think even Biden Biden would do the right thing, I think. He said Cuomo should resign.
I think you mean even as though he would probably be hands-off commenting on state leadership. But
I mean, the President of the United States, even the President of the United States is saying you should resign. I would take that seriously.
Yeah, that's not no one.
Mm-hmm. But it's not politically advantageous. No, it's not. But it's the right thing to do. Now, the question for Democrats is, who are you going to replace him with? Now, let's remember good things that Cuomo did. You know, he was aggressive in getting projects done. Although, I'll tell you that LaGuardia AirTrain thing, I just don't get that at all. Okay, whatever. I can overlook that. But the Second Avenue subway, pushing that, East Side Access, where LIRR is going to go to Grand Central, that's good. Those are good things. Widening the Kosciuszko Bridge, that was nice, but you know what? Just more cars are using it now, so it didn't really accomplish much.
Just put the congestion elsewhere, but that's not what we're talking
gay
about.
Gay marriage, marijuana, these are things he pushed through. It took him long enough, but he did it. We need somebody that will continue doing things like that. We need somebody, I think, more progressive. Although, you know, we have to face facts. Democrats aren't as progressive as we want them to be. Given the choice of mayoral candidates in New York City, they pick the next cop. All right, so, you know, it's not what I want, but I have to accept it and work with what we have and try to keep pushing as much as possible. But we need somebody who will kick Lee Zeldin's ass out of not only the gubernatorial mansion, but Congress as well. So let's start thinking about that. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody mentioned yet for replacing the governor, and that might be a different person than whoever runs next year.
Well, and I would start looking in the governor, in the executive itself. There are plenty of capable people that were a part of this administration, albeit some of them probably a little bit traumatized, as we're finding out. But like the lieutenant governor, I'm sorry, I don't know her name.
Hatchell, I believe. I don't know how to pronounce it. I know her name, but I don't know.
Certainly capable of handling the interim. I don't think, actually, I also would go back to the impeachment thing. I don't think that's going to be necessary. I think it's unfortunate that the governor's taking his time to realize the weight of this, the gravity of the situation, but I don't think it's going to come to that. I think there's already an enormous amount of pressure that resignation is probably going to be one of the easiest things he does in the next period of time. But the interim and, you know, and of course impeachment would just be this insane, messy state drama that would detract from current crises and various other political and other initiatives in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So that resolving a capable lieutenant or associate that is familiar with the office, familiar with the current administration, to be able to proctor in or sort of chaperone a transition or
right.
a... I don't know when the next race. How would that work? Do you know the technical aspects of it? I mean, he impeached or stepping down.
Well, the election.
When's the term?
The election is November 2022, regardless.
2022, yeah. Right? Okay, so.
But Kathy Hochul, I think that's how you say it. Would she's the lieutenant governor now, so she would take over if Cuomo stepped down, and I don't know if she is the candidate the Democrats want. You know, she seems like a safe candidate, but. You know, we need somebody who is, you know, not that safe, not that cautious. I don't really know enough about her. She hasn't really been in the news that much, which surprises me because, you know, she is definitely the next person in line, so you'd think we would know more about her. I think we'll start hearing more about her starting now.
So they wouldn't hold any kind of, like, special election. She would just continue out the term, right, until 2022. That gives plenty of time for people to consider what direction the state should go in and come up with some candidates and a platform on
according to Cuomo, this is what you've been monitoring, everybody who is saying he should resign is somebody who wants to be governor and has ulterior motives. You know, when you start saying things like that, when you start saying that the investigation is biased and it's just being run by people who want to replace you, yeah, you know what, either you're paranoid or the cards are really stacked against you. Either way, you don't have much of a future. I would say look to your accomplishments. You do have accomplishments, but also look to your behavior because it is not acceptable. And I would be concerned about potential legal issues down the road. But right now, the Democrats have to think of what they want to do for the office, and they have to come up with a strong candidate. They have to have a strong platform. You don't want somebody like Lee Zeldin running the state. Oh my God, that would be mayhem. That'd be I can't nightmares. I gotta get them out of my head.
The lunatics running the asylum.
Well, just think about it. It would be like having Governor Trump. It would be because he would be running them totally.
Yeah, like by edict,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a Roman emperor or something. You know, like in Gladiator.
Trump Jr. would probably be his lieutenant governor and Attorney General Eric. No. Oh my God, I have to stop thinking about it. So yeah, the risks are high. But if we stick to justice, if we stick to doing what's right, and if we go down the road without fear, I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be okay. But boy, what a day.
Absolutely, yeah, and that thing of, yeah, everybody, you know, the governor seems to be the only person not calling for resignation at this point, and I think that's going to change, as I was indicating, public perception, but that paranoia of, okay, yeah, this person wants to be governor, and this person wants to be governor, and, you know, everybody wants this position, they're so craven for power, that's projecting. That's you accusing other people of your delusions as an excuse to really cover your craven goals and aims in spite of some mistakes and abuse, it seems. And so, I don't know. I would probably be focused on the potential civil suits and... another act, but continuing to lead is going to be completely chaotic.
Andrew, you serve three terms, almost three terms. Your dad served for three terms. Let it go. All right, there's other talk show circuit, whatever.
Go fix a car.
We have a state to run. All right, and speaking of running things, it's getting difficult with COVID, obviously. And I'm really pretty upset by this because... we were so close. We were so close to being out of the woods, and a bunch of imbeciles and nitwits kept us from doing this. I'm referring, of course, to the anti-vaxxers, or people that refused to get vaccinated. Had you gotten vaccinated when the vaccines were introduced, we would be past this thing right now. We wouldn't be talking about the Delta variant. We wouldn't be talking about having to wear masks again indoors. We wouldn't be talking about having to show proof that you got a vaccine to go into a restaurant in New York City, which you're going to have to do starting in September. Yeah, all the things that you were railing against, you ensured their arrival by being an idiot or being many idiots. You know, and guess what? The majority of new cases, one in three. Okay, it's not the majority, but it's compared to the rest of the states. One in three U.S. COVID cases were in Florida and Texas, two states accounting for a third of all the COVID cases. And why is that? Because they have the two most idiotic governors who refuse to do anything about it. And this, to me, goes far beyond any other a crime that anyone is being accused of right now in government, because you are responsible for the deaths of thousands, if not more. Directly responsible. You know, they're starting to see this in Brazil. You know, they're starting to demonstrate against the government and demand accountability because of all the people who died due to basically the fascist regime there and the ignorance and the denial of the seriousness of the virus. Same thing happened in Texas and Florida. They denied it. You know, case in point, Florida basically refused to allow cruise ships to require passengers to have a vaccine. It's something as simple as that. They refuse to allow that. They're refusing to allow school districts to implement policy to help keep kids and their families safe. I mean, they are responsible for what happens as a result of that. And what's happening right now, it's unforgivable. You know, here's another example. Going back to Zeldin, I hate always having to talk about Lee Zeldin, but it's important. He represents our area. And it's an embarrassment. He said the other day that some very small number, I think it was 27 people, are in the hospital with COVID right now in D.C., and comparing that to gun violence, which he thinks can be solved by more guns. And, yeah, okay, I'm not sure what the point of that is, there's gun violence and there's COVID, but he was basically mocking Fauci and everybody else, saying that this is something we have to take seriously. Only 27 people in the hospital. And, you know, there's a website that that monitors how many people in the D.C. area are in the hospital from COVID. I looked at that website, and the day after he said that, that number was over 100. Yeah, dumbass, it went up that much. Okay? That is called a pandemic. That's what happens. And especially if you don't take it seriously. So look at us. The numbers are going up. There was an amazing article in the Times, New York Times, the other day that had a chart. And it was really kind of cool because when you roll down, the chart changed. And you saw how good we were doing this spring. The United States was up near the top. EU was way down at the bottom. Canada, way down at the bottom. You couldn't even see them. And now, when you scroll down through the months, they're both ahead of us. They both have more of their population, percentage-wise, vaccinated. It didn't take long. Didn't take long for them to do well. Didn't take long for us to unravel. I was so proud of us at that time. And now it's just shame. Because we let the idiots run the show again. And now we all have to pay.
Yeah, it was a lot of those smaller pockets that ended up allowing mutations to persist and expand and broaden their reach around the nation, and it is now the lion's share of cases, and also it's turning into, of course, with fallen effects on innocent people around those who do not believe in pandemics. But it's turned into a form of self-genocide, I think. Basically, believing something wildly refutable,
mm-hmm.
and wrong, and paying the consequences. And a lot of the people on their deathbeds in the hospital are asking for vaccines when it's too late.
Yeah, that tears me up seeing that.
It's pretty awful.
It doesn't, folks, it doesn't matter what you believe in, what your religion is, what your race is, what your political feelings are. If you're in that hospital bed and you're saying, give me the vaccine now, and the nurse is telling you that it's too late, that just, I can't see those stories. It tears me apart. So easy to stop something like this, you know? You just have to have some faith in the medical community, in the scientific world, and what we are all trying to accomplish together. You lose that, you've already lost a bit of your humanity, but you very well could lose your life as a result. And certainly, you will know somebody who loses their life as a result of that. It's so easy to avoid.
There's a story circulating about a family that was like, you know, well, we'll wait and see. And wait a year is what they wanted to do, and I think the husband ended up in the hospital. I think this was a Times piece,
mm-hmm.
On hesitancy, and you know, not there is idiocy out there, but there are people who've convinced themselves that, you know, they'll just maybe wait and see and that kind of thing. I would just encourage folks to read a little bit about the ways that this was sped up and the way a lot of the tools and technology were leveraged to perform early trials, to get it right early on. And, you know, waiting a year, that's fine, but the...
No, it's not fine. Not fine.
It's fine to think that, but remember that there was a year of the trials. Mm-hmm. So there has been, you know, a year of people who have been injected with this vaccine and then monitored closely as a part of the trial. So
right.
You may have your reservations, but I think that year has already passed. You might be waiting a little too long.
Well, I don't think it was a full year. I think it was more like 6 to 8
months.
No,
according to individuals who wanted to wait from when it was widely available, e.g. the spring, until maybe next spring,
right.
But in the interim got sick, like, you know, this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that may be your personal choice, but that was factored into what was a very accelerated timetable. Now, there were strategies and methods to enable that to be sped up in a safe way, but that time has been accounted for. There were people who, as of this spring, had a dose of it for roughly a year or nearly a year.
Less than a year. It's not possible because it wasn't developed until the summer. And
so last June.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they had a fair amount of time, but in the immediacy of mm-hmm. the current crisis, you may not have that time, and especially with the contagiousness. I just want to make that distinction because I can understand people want evidence that, you know, it's safe, but also remember that as of now, there's been over 100 million people, nearly 150 million people who are fully vaccinated and not experiencing any symptoms, more than 42 days
after. Here's the truth. If you want to see how people are 5 years after they take the vaccine, you're going to have to wait 5 years to see how they do after the vaccine. We don't have 5 years to do that. So we have to go on the science, on the results that were that came about through the test, which I believe were about 6 to 8 months, and make a decision based on that. Now, you might say that FDA hasn't approved it. No, that's impossible. No, they can never approve something that quickly. They approved it for emergency use, which is what happens in a pandemic. It will, in all likelihood, be approved probably in the next couple of months. And then, okay, then I guess there's nothing left to be worried about if you are worried about this kind of thing. But right now, given the choice between the certainty of getting the virus and the good chance of having severe reactions to it, and the certainty of not having to worry about that by taking the vaccine, I don't think it's a very hard choice.
Certainly not. I mean, it's also about weighing your personal risks, mm-hmm. you know, and what factors you personally, having that intelligent discussion with your own physician and so forth.
And it's also, you know, this isn't a virus that is completely unknown. There have been similar viruses in the past. There is experience with this. It's not like they started at zero. They had knowledge going into this, and that's one of the reasons why they were able to develop something so quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't like the first time any of these entities had worked with vaccines.
Right. And, you know, it's not all bad news either. In the last week, 3 million Americans got their first shot. Just today, this is kind of sad, just today we hit Biden's 4th of July goal of 70% of adults getting at least one shot.
A little late. We talked about that the other week.
I thought it was going to be a couple of days late, but no, it's a month late. But, you know, maybe this is the wake-up call we need. And getting one shot is better than getting no shots. You know, you're not completely protected. You're not completely protected with two shots, too. We all know this. It's about 95%, maybe 90%. Now, I just want to go over a couple of things because there's a lot of misinformation out there. But that means that about 1 in 20 people will still get infected even though they got both doses. But the fact that you got both doses means that even if you do get infected, the odds of you getting sick, really sick, are extremely low, like 1 in 1,000 after that. But when you do get infected, if you're one of those 1 in 20 people who get infected, you have the ability to spread it to other people. And if one of those people isn't vaccinated, they could get seriously sick. And it's more of a certainty with them that they will feel the effects of it. So that is why people who are already vaccinated are being advised to wear masks indoors. Not for their own protection so much as to protect others in case they're one of those breakthrough cases that gets infected anyway. All right. If you've been vaccinated, you can enjoy life. You can go out and have fun and you know, take minimal precautions. In all likelihood, you're completely protected. Yeah, there's a 1 in thousands of a chance that you could get sick. You could wind up in the hospital. There is that chance, but nothing like the chances if you're not vaccinated. And these numbers are well established, backed up by multiple sources. So I'm tired of having debates about it. This is established science at this point.
Yep. The booster itself, too, there's discussion of that. Several countries are trialing that. I've even heard they're tailoring it to be more effective with variants. There's a lot of ongoing research in different age groups, of course, to continue availability. And, of course, global availability is lagging itself, improving.
A lot of that we could be doing so much better with if countries would just start doing a better job humanitarian-wise. For instance, Israel destroyed a whole bunch of vaccines that expired. They just destroyed them. You couldn't give them away? You couldn't just maybe, you know, instead of firing a missile into the occupied territories, maybe fire some vaccines over there. Give them to people who really need them, who you're not taking care of. How about that? Here's another example. Hungary, I read this recently. I don't have the exact facts in front of me. But Hungary recently sold a whole batch of vaccines to Portugal. who then distributed them to various third world nations. Okay, you sold it to Portugal, who gave it away. Why didn't you just give it away? What is all this? It's selfishness, it's greed, it's not looking at the big picture, and it's hurting yourself in the end. Okay, those countries that have something that the rest of the world needs, and they're not using it, need to give it to those people who really need it, because that will come back to us, either as a virus or as healthy people that will not spread more disease. It's not hard.
And we want tourists, we want all that fun aspect of life to be rushing back. So the more available and helpful we are with this kind of technology, the sooner we can put some of this stuff behind us.
So I just saw this story today, which is really disturbing. I heard yesterday that another D.C. police officer who responded to the January 6th Capitol riot died by suicide. Now it's two more. Two more D.C. police officers have killed themselves.
So that's four total?
Four who have taken their own lives.
And one
in the aftermath.
Sick-nick.
And one who was actually, who died as a result of injuries.
On site, yeah.
Five cops. Now, what's incredible to me is that all these, Blue Lives Matter people with their flags, all these Republicans, they don't give a crap about these people. Why is it that we're the ones standing up for these cops and saying this should not be happening, that these guys basically gave their lives, and whether you count suicide or dying of medical conditions as a result of being attacked as the same thing as being shot in the line of duty, I think it's pretty damn close, okay? These people were there on that day. They were attacked. They were traumatized, and it matters. And why the hell aren't you standing up for them? Disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
They'd have to admit that it happened, to say nothing of how violent it was and how wrong on the face it was. Like, just the like timing.
Mm-hmm.
It was no coincidence that day was the day. You know,
on that day, I saw lots of Republicans doing just that. I saw a lot of Republicans saying, this is bad, it's Trump's fault. And now, just like Stalinist Russia, they're saying completely different things, acting as if it never happened. And, you know, you're on tape, and we can see you saying these things. What gives? What changed? You know, at least Democrats are working to get Cuomo out based on the facts. But in your case, when the facts don't line up with what you want, you just pretend the facts don't exist? Is this the world we want? Ugh.
Not me. I'm not with it.
Well, very tragic news. And it never should have happened. It never should have happened. And there has to be accountability for this sort of thing. And, you know, it's not isolated to D.C. Cops in general admittedly have very stressful lives, and we need to look at that. We need to have support there so that this doesn't happen in that particular career. We need to change the way things are done, because it not only hurts the civilians, it hurts the people that are basically going out every day and being put in a situation where they're opposed to the community that they're supposedly serving. You know, that's kind of what we tell them they have to do. And by militarizing it, the way that we militarize, it's just, it's set up for failure. I was thinking about this the other day, looking at there was a report, I think, on Vice News about ambulances, you know, about how, was it Vice News or was it something else?
Yes.
Okay, about how they're different in every jurisdiction and how they don't get enough funding.
That was John Oliver.
That was John Oliver. Okay, so that's why I asked. So I was thinking, why don't we militarize the first responders, meaning militarize the paramedics? Give them all the equipment that the military has. Give them the best of the best. You know, cops don't need tanks. They don't need militarized armor. These are your neighbors. These are your fellow citizens. But the medical community, if it's falling short in anything, and the military has resources, that is where we share. That's where we give those away. So, yeah, militarized paramedics, not the cops.
Truly. And some of the points that were made, even when the four officers testified last week, the one officer was talking about how it's bad for recruitment because the people that they're sworn to protect are denying that this occurred. Why would you want to work for someone who's going to lie about something that put your life in danger?
Well, part of the job is you protect people who are not necessarily on the same side as you. That's part of the job.
But wantonly endangering
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about that.
It's a tough ask. It really is. And it's just shameful that these are congressmen that are doing this. And the important thing is that it be revealed, that we know the facts.
Well, it's unforgivable.
It is.
And we do not forget either.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anonymous. Moving to other countries, Belarus, you hear about this?
I have.
You don't know what I'm talking about. There's actually two Belarus stories.
Well, I already know.
There's the Olympics, an athlete was being forcibly flown back to Belarus for not cooperating, and she got away, and now she's going to live in Poland, which hopefully won't immediately turn her over to Belarus. But a Belarusian activist who was living in exile in Ukraine was found hanged in a park near his home in Kiev early today. Ukrainian police said they're basically suspecting murder. They're investigating whether the killers tried to disguise the crime as suicide. It's disgusting what's happening in Belarus. And I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, but more pressure needs to be exerted on them for doing these horrible things to people, and not just people in their own country. You know, forcing planes down so that they can get Belarusian citizens in exile to come back to their country, and presumably executing people in other countries. So
he'll slip up, Lukashenko. It's not gonna.
I think he has slipped up.
It won't last forever. This stuff has been really clumsily done. The downing of the plane, it was all terrible.
But you know, sometimes that doesn't matter if you have the backing, and he's got the backing of Putin. So he can continue getting away with things. Look at Trump, how badly he did everything in his 4 years, and he was always backed up.
Oh, yeah.
He never got into trouble. It's the same thing.
A lot of cover. Yeah.
All these dictators, all these fascists, they will do that. And I don't care if he's technically not a fascist or whatever. They're made of the same cloth, all right? And they do whatever they want, and they continue to get away with whatever they do. So just revealing it all. That's the most important thing we can do. So vital.
Yeah, I mean, remember these things do not occur in a vacuum. These leaders might want them to. That, I mean, is happening in this country, in all over, you know, Asia, Europe, in many places. So the important thing is using the tools, having discussions, and spreading awareness of it. Telling these stories, making sure people know what they're dealing with when they're talking about these different regimes and the inflection and aims of this kind of power. Like,
yeah,
what the end is, why, and what are the traits of it?
It's not irrelevant. There are always parallels, things you can learn from this. Find Belarus on a map, learn something about it, and follow what's going on in the rest of the world. It's so important. You know, we suggest watching Vice News on every night and Euronews, which is on the optimum lineup, which is great.
I think their telephone company is the other Bell.
Whose telephone company?
Belarus. Yeah, it's like Bell.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Their payphones are like Bell Tel. That's what I remember. Or something like that.
Really? You're not just making this up?
Yeah, it was like Bell. It was some play on Belarus, or Bell and Bell Tel.
You sure
something.
You're not thinking of Moldova?
Well, no, that was Moldcell. Which is itself
which is a
hilarious.
Disgusting sounding name.
It's a hilarious
mold
name
cell.
For a mobile company. But no, I'm thinking about like just.
Right.
Anyway, generally.
the space station. I did some acrobatics in the last week.
Did you hear about this?
Okay, well, I'm going to share it with the folks if you let me. So basically, what they initially reported was that the space station shifted by around 45 degrees, and according to NASA Flight Director Zebulon Scoville, Zebulon, what a cool first name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, you're naming a kid Zebulon, all right? And,
nope.
And send us the birth announcement, because that's a cool, we need
and
more.
They definitely get into space.
More Zebulons in the world. Wow, I got to look up that name, what it means. The actual figure, by the way, is closer to 540 degrees, which means the International Space Station performed 1.5 backflips. And during the Olympics, what could be more appropriate than that?
That's pretty cool.
An impromptu performance that would make an Olympic athlete jealous. Oh, they got my joke already. When the ISS stopped spinning, it was fully upside down. Okay, in space, that doesn't really matter, but sure. Requiring a 180-degree forward flip to regain the outpost original position. So basically what happened was Russian crew members were trying to integrate a newly arrived section, and thrusters began to fire, causing the ISS to roll backwards. Russian flight controllers eventually regained control, but for a 47-minute span, the situation looked a bit dicey. I'm glad this happened. I am happy this happened. Do you know why?
Why?
First of all, nobody got hurt, but these accidents are important because you have to figure out how to get out of the accidents, and they did. So if you can have an accident in space that you recover from, you learn from it, and it's a victory. So I'm very happy this happened and that nothing really bad occurred as a result of that, but a lot of experience was achieved.
Yeah, a couple other details. It was too slow for the astronauts to notice. I think that at its fastest, it was half a meter a second it was moving in this direction. The other interesting thing is the Russians told them that this vehicle could only receive commands from the ground station, and the ground station itself was an hour away. In other words, on the other side of the planet or whatever.
It was basically the planet was facing the wrong way, so
right.
they couldn't communicate with it for another hour.
Okay. Right, and it needed to communicate with it to get the commands. You couldn't send commands directly from the space station to this new module that had just docked. And it only stopped, kind of unexplained, for unexplained reasons, but it only stopped after about like 15 minutes of this burn or something, and then the other thrusters they had been firing on other modules were countering that, going in the opposite or other direction, and I think at that point they were able to stop and get it going back around the other way, or complete it going the other way.
Anyway, good job, everybody involved. Glad it worked out. Kyle, is a launch coming up. Tell us in 30 seconds or less what's happening.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the Starliner vehicle is having its second orbital launch, so OF2 for the Starliner vehicle.
Where are they going?
And that's part of the Orion capsule system, and they're basically going up and then down.
They're going up. Oh, they're just going up and down? That's just a test? They're not going to the space station?
I don't believe. They may be. I don't know if they're docking. They may be docking at the station and then coming down, but
okay.
it may just be a launch and then a return.
Well, it's launching tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be some coverage someplace.
They'll tell you about it.
We have to go. Finn is up next. Please write to us, otw@2600.com. Continue following the news and watching corrupt leadership topple, because it always does. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Go Orion.
Atom secrets, secret people, have the boys found the leak yet? Mole Hill set the wheel in motion, downfall fix up locomotion. Never leave the store ajar. Swing the whip from the bowl of war. The people must have something good to read on a Sunday. He wore a leather mask or a thinner cape, totally nude and with deep respect. Proposed a toast to the bootsy kid, the feeling of power and the thought of sex. The people must have something good to read
perfume and the feel of a vulture. Driver waited in the end of the dark. Fat man trapped and set for capture. The girl left the thin man touch. Mixing question, drunken laughter. Ministry guard waiting there. Minister knows his own affair.